And good evening, everyone. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer in another AboveTopSecret.com member podcast. A few weeks ago, state and territory governments agreed to help John Howard create some tough new anti-terror laws here in Australia, prompted by the London transport bombings of July 7th. At the time of the COAG summit, it appeared that all the state and territory leaders were in agreement with Mr. Howard and fully supported his rather controversial legislation. Until today. Now, since the COAG summit, Australians hadn't heard much apart from the official summary on what these laws were going to contain. That changed on Friday, however, with John Stanhope, the ACT Chief Minister, actually publishing a confidential draft of the legislation, therefore breaking cabinet confidentiality, on his website. And if anyone actually wants to have a look at this, then I'm going to post a link on the forum accompanying this particular podcast. He's also published since then some other rather interesting PDFs, including an analysis of the human rights implications for the anti-terrorism bill and some DPP advice on the anti-terror laws. The DPP here in Australia, incidentally, for all of those who are not Australian or who don't know, is the Director of Public Prosecutions. They're the office who basically creates the case against you and prosecutes you on behalf of the state in a criminal law case. Now, since that legislation was actually leaked, Howard has been under increasing pressure, not only from state and territory leaders, but also, it turns out, from people within his own cabinet in some rather interesting events that have come up in the last 24 hours. Now, the controversial legislation in itself contains interesting provisions such as preventative detention, which we knew we were getting. Therefore, you can be detained for anything up to 14 days on suspicion of having committed... you can be detained for anything up to 14 days without charge on suspicion that you are going to commit a crime, not that you actually have committed a crime. Control orders, whereby they can limit who you see, who you talk to, etc., are actually going to be applied for anything up to 12 months, and you can be forced to wear a tracking device. In the PDF, we found out on Friday that you can make your one phone call if you choose to and are able to under this legislation. However, if you tell anyone that you think you're being held under this legislation, the instant jail term is 5 years. You're not entitled to find out what evidence they have against you, and your legal representation has to apparently be vetted by the federal government or the state governments, so they have to approve your lawyer. Now, the more controversial of the provisions in this particular act, which was a surprise to everyone, including state and territory leaders, is the provision of a shoot-to-kill order by the federal police. Now, yes, police currently do have the ability to shoot to kill if the suspect has committed a crime, is shown to be committing a crime, and the police actually have proof that they are under threat or that someone else's life is under threat. In the new legislation, however, none of that has to exist. So the potential is there for someone to literally be shot in the back like that guy in London, or for innocent people to actually be shot on suspicion that they're going to be doing something, not actually having committed any of these crimes. For such legislation to be passed, you would think that Mr. Howard would have provided us with some adequate time for the Senate to actually debate this legislation before passing it. However, in his generosity, the time allowed for the Senate to actually debate and examine this legislation and its effect on our way of life is only 1 day. The federal opposition, that is the Labor Party, is calling for at least a month inquiry. So are the Democrats, so are the Greens, so is the Civil Liberties Council, and so is the Law Council of Australia. In the meantime, state premiers are backing away from supporting the new counter-terrorism laws, and Howard does need their support to pass a lot of this at state level because the Commonwealth doesn't have the power. And they're accusing him of slipping in the federal police shoot to kill provision. Today, the leaders of Queensland, Victoria, South Australia, New South Wales and Western Australia have all come out and said that they were not told about the proposed power when they signed off at the plans last month. Legal experts such as the Law Council of Australia have said the provision is rather frightening and should actually be dropped. Howard's fought back, saying the proposal was no more than codifying the powers that already existed under state law. New South Wales Premier Morris Lemmer said the powers were not included in the draft legislation that was put to the states at the COAG summit in September. And I quote, "Shoot to kill was not part of the discussions and it was not part of the communique." West Australian Premier Jeff Gallop agreed, saying, "When we went to Canberra, we agreed with the Prime Minister that change was necessary, particularly in respect to control orders and preventative detention. But the shoot to kill policy was not part of the agreement, and we certainly won't be supporting it in any legislation in Western Australia." South Australian Premier Mike Rann has said he's going to wait to read the laws before making a final decision, but has indicated that he would reject the powers. He was quoted this afternoon as saying, "I will commit right now to everything that I committed to at COAG, but I won't commit to things I haven't seen, and I won't commit to things that have been put in that I didn't agree to." A few days ago, Queensland Premier Beattie was actually rather annoyed that John Howard had actually left out the provision for a public interest monitor, which he'd asked for. He was rather generous, however, in saying that he was sure it was merely an oversight, and that before he agreed to any legislation, he'd be sure to remind the Prime Minister to put it back in. Howard's also facing problems from within his own party and own backbench in regards to this legislation. Leading moderate Petro Georgiou has publicly raised concerns the new laws could undermine the civil liberties and disenfranchise the Muslim community. He was quoted this afternoon as saying, "As well as considering the impact of legislation on fundamental rights such as liberty and fair trial, we must take care the substance of the law and its implementation do not impact unfairly on Muslim and Arab Australians." As this debate heats up more and more here in Australia, I'm going to bring you more news as it comes to light. But tonight, the final word is going to rest with our former Conservative Prime Minister, Malcolm Fraser, who is one of the more controversial figures in Australian history, and also John Howard's former boss, saying that no strong case has been made to show that these laws are going to be effective in any way at all in the fight against terrorism. He was quoted this afternoon as saying, "The London bombings are probably used as a rationale, but apply these laws to London bombings, they could not succeed. The laws should be opposed on the basis of substance. The powers contained within the laws, whose breadth and arbitrary nature with lack of judicial oversight, should not exist in any democratic country. If one says they will not be abused, I do not agree. The arbitrary power exists, they will be abused." He was quoted as saying this afternoon. This is Mulberry Blue Shimmer, signing out.